The Headache and Migraine News Podcast. The latest news and tips for those with headaches, migraine, and cluster headache around the world with health writer and researcher James Cottrell.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be talking to you again. You may ask yourself, why doesn't James post more podcasts? And that, my friend, is a complex question. But one of the reasons is because I really want something that's really worth talking about, really interesting, something that will really be practical to you. And so when I find something that amazing, then I realize, well, this is going to take quite a bit of time to think about, to work through, and to talk about. And so then it's too much work and I don't do it. Not that I don't mind working, it's just that I do kind of have deadlines when I need to get my posts done. So anyway, I know I do need to podcast more. I would like to, but we'll see how it goes in the future. So this one actually kind of falls in between the super amazing and the really brief, because there's no reason why I can't pop on for 2 minutes and talk about some migraine news or something like that. There's no reason why I can't do that. So again, this is somewhere in between. It's not necessarily the most amazing thing you will ever hear, and it's a little more than just a two-minute news story. This is basically just something to think about as you think about your migraine attacks and how you evaluate them, how you maybe look for triggers, what could have triggered this migraine attack. This is actually something that I think a lot of us have thought about, or should I say, we know it intuitively. It's something that's kind of been in the back of our minds, but it's really not talked about that much in the world of migraine research. And so these researchers did something really, really interesting. I'm going to explain it not in complete detail, but just to give you a bit of an idea of what they did and why they did it. So this is some research that was done in published in September of 2019. And the research was done in Norway and England. And the paper is entitled, What Constitutes a Migraine Attack? A Counting Clinician's Perspective. So there you go. I'm sure that's gotten you all excited already. But here is basically what these researchers did. So they wanted to look at migraine diaries, basically, and analyze them and see the relationship between migraine days. So what generally, if you're reading even headache and migraine news, or you're reading specific research, you hear a lot about migraine days. So this is kind of just an easy way to encapsulate how many migraine attacks you're having per month. Okay, so for example, if you think of an episodic migraine attack, you're going to have probably less than 15 attacks in a month. You get more than that, you start getting into chronic migraine. So it's just kind of a way to measure how severe your how migraine is affecting your life, right? How many days is this affecting your life? As you can see, even as I'm struggling to talk about it, it's a little bit arbitrary, right? Because you could have a morning in which you had a really bad migraine attack, and maybe you treated it successfully and you felt great in the afternoon. Might more often be the other way around, but it's possible that an attack may not last a whole day, or it could also be that could last multiple days. A migraine attack could last multiple days. So it's a little bit arbitrary. It's an easy way to think about it. But there's actually a statistical problem with the way we measure this. What the researchers here did was they used something called a Markov chain. The idea is you look at a sequence of possible events. So you have a bit of randomness in here, but you're looking at a sequence of events. So you have a day without a migraine attack, then you have a day with a migraine attack. What are the chances that you're going to have a migraine attack the next day? Well, there's all kinds of variables, of course, that would answer that question. But what if we just had this information? What if we just knew that you didn't have a migraine attack today, What are the chances you're going to have one tomorrow? Or you did have a migraine attack today. What are the chances you're going to have one tomorrow? So as you might guess, if you have a migraine attack today, your chances are actually better that you're going to have another attack tomorrow. And so the question is raised, is that actually another attack or is it not? Is it actually a continuation of the same attack? So if so, you have a month, let's say you've got 5 migraine attacks in a month. Well, what if 3 of those days were all clustered together? Clustered together, this is not a cluster headache. Of course, that's a different thing, so don't get confused. But what if those 3 of those days were clustered together? Well, maybe you actually only had 3 attacks that month instead of 5. Does that make sense? Now, this becomes even more important when you start looking at previous research about how long a migraine attack lasts. Now, we think often about the headache portion, if there is a headache. Sometimes there's migraine attacks with no headache. But assuming there is a headache portion of the attack, we think about that. Well, I had a headache on Thursday. But then we start to think about our symptoms and we think, well, you know what though? All day Wednesday, I was feeling really down. I was feeling heavy. I was feeling fatigued. And so you start looking at some of these early symptoms. Premonitory symptoms could happen 24 hours before your attack or even longer. Some research has found that there are biological changes in the body 36 hours before the next attack, or even 48 hours, that's 2 days before your attack. So even though your headache may only last 24 hours, you may have something that's lasting 2 or 3 days, and yes, it is affecting you. It is making a difference. So the researchers take a look at some of these things and say, okay, well, you could therefore have a 24 to 72 hour migraine attack. So let's start measuring it that way. Let's say, okay, if you're going to have 2 attacks, and of course, things get a little more complicated when you start looking at chronic migraine, but this does impact chronic migraine as well, but it's just more difficult to measure, just with the knowledge we have today. So let's look at episodic migraine, attack every day or two or less. If you have a migraine attack free day, then that breaks up 2 attacks, okay? So if you have 2 partial days in a row with a migraine attack, that's counted as 1. If you have a migraine free day in between, then it's counted as 2. You could say, for example, and again, this is something I bet you a lot of you know intuitively, but you have an attack and you take some medication and you become pain-free. Often you'll hear about that in research as well. Pain-free within 2 hours. Okay, so you are pain-free because you took your magical medication and now you have 2 hours, you're feeling fine, and then pain starts again. Or maybe you have 12 hours, you're feeling fine, and pain starts again. Well, we would call this a migraine relapse. So this is not necessarily a completely new attack. This is just happening because of, and again, you could say statistically because of, but there's something biological going on here. You're falling back into the migraine attack, even though the medication was temporarily a help. And you can see this just by looking. If you keep a migraine diary, you can take a look at this and you can see, many of you anyway, not everybody, but you can see that migraine attacks cluster together. In other words, they're often 2 or 3 days together, and then you have maybe several days pain-free, and then you have another cluster. So something obviously is going on here beyond, I just happened to have 3 days in a row that I had a migraine attack. All right, so I think you understand the basic concept. Now this research, if you want to look it up online, again, what constitutes a migraine attack, accounting clinicians perspective from September 2019. You can look it up. You can read the whole entire study, and it gets very, very deep into statistics and why it's important. But I think you can understand it fairly simply with what I've said already. So why does this matter? And how can you apply it? Basically, the researchers say, okay, we need to start thinking about migraine attacks in a different way as we do future research. And I think they're absolutely right. And you can see that by looking at your own headache or migraine diary and thinking about, how do I evaluate these attacks? How do I evaluate? Let's look at triggers. This is an easy example. Now, it seems from current research that dark chocolate does not trigger migraine in most people. Dark chocolate, we're talking a very small amount of sugar here. Obviously, if you have a lot of sugar, that could be a problem. But let's say dark chocolate, okay? Dark chocolate used to be absolutely notorious. Now, it seems from present research, probably most people are okay. Now, before half of you run out to buy some chocolate, just listen to the rest of the podcast. So let's say you are trying to figure out, boy, I had some dark chocolate. Did that trigger my attack? If you just look at migraine days, and part of the problem here is, you know this intuitively. If you're just writing out on paper your migraine attacks and just thinking about it, you can see, you'll understand this, you'll get this. But if you're inputting your information into an app, which more and more of us are doing, and the app is spitting out the answer, this can easily be missed. Let's think of one example. The person who has five attacks, we already used this example, five migraine days, as they say, in a month. Okay. Now I'm trying to figure out if dark chocolate is triggering a migraine attack. So I enter the information in. I had five migraine days during the month. I ate dark chocolate once during the month. And the next day, yes, indeed, I did have a migraine attack. But that's only one attack out of five. So that means we don't know, of course, if the dark chocolate triggered the attack. It could be, could not. We need more information. But it's possible that one-fifth of the time, dark chocolate triggered a migraine attack. Okay, but now let's look at those clusters. Now remember, we had three attacks clustered together, 3 days in a row, and then we had two more single attacks of 1 day each. Now, if we consider those three migraine days that were clustered together to be one attack, now you've got only three attacks in the month. So now the dark chocolate may have triggered an attack a third of the time. Well, that's obviously a big change statistically, right? Now, let's say we ate that dark chocolate before the 3 day attack. Well, now we have an even bigger issue, because if indeed the dark chocolate triggered the attack, again, this is nowhere near enough information to decide if it triggered an attack or not, but if it did, that would also have been by far the worst or longest lasting attack of the month. So if it did trigger the attack, it may have triggered the most serious one of the month. So we've gone to maybe one in five times I got an attack because of dark chocolate, to all of a sudden a third of the time and maybe the worst one. Now, there's all kinds of other statistical issues with what I just said. I mean, how many other times did you eat dark chocolate? Were there times you got an attack and didn't get an attack? We're not going to get into that, of course. But I think you understand the main point here is that it changes the statistics of your attack. If you consider that one attack, those 3 days, to be a single attack instead of three attacks. So yes, this completely changes how research can be done and probably should be done in the future. It will change some of the statistics that go along with migraine attacks. So it will probably eventually, if these types of models are adopted, it will change what we say is most likely to trigger attacks, or what is most likely to treat them, or it could change an awful lot of research. Not that today's research is telling us something completely wrong, but we could be a lot more accurate. But even just looking at this on our own migraine diaries and thinking about it ourselves, we really need to think about that. First of all, think about how our migraine attacks may be lasting longer than we think. If we start thinking just migraine days, that's a whole different story than, well, we had a bunch of attacks together. I had a little bit of, I had a day where I'd had no pain, but then it came back. And all of a sudden we start thinking, oh, wait a second now. I never was feeling maybe completely better in between there. This may be just be the same attack. So all of a sudden we realized, boy, that one night I went without sleep, it actually affected me for several days. And that different way of thinking, I think, can help us to better understand our attacks and realize, oh, if this is triggering this attack, I need to really avoid it because it's disabling me a lot more than I was thinking before. So there you go. That's just a little bit of something to think about. The migraine relapse, again, these researchers think about that as between 2 hours and 48 hours of migraine-free time. So when they look at a chart with days, again, they want to see at least a day in between. And again, this is not as accurate as hours. These are days, right? So they want to see at least a day free of migraine attack before they count it as a separate migraine. They want, I think, to remind us that, yes, even 24 hours, 36, even up to 48 hours before an attack, as in a headache, we may already be experiencing biological changes in our body, and we may already be experiencing symptoms. So that means that something you did a day or two before the attack hit may have a significant impact on the attack. So there you go. I posted a podcast. I hope it was useful to you. I will leave you to think about that. You can leave comments at headacheandmigrainenews.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you have a healthy day.